Have you been on the fence about supporting the show? Have you been on the fence about joining us at patreon.com/lineuplogic, getting involved with the chat community, getting involved with fantasy5by5.com, getting some extra resources to support your game? Are you more interested in DFS than everyone else that you know? Lineup Logic community is for you. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. New month, March 1st. Now's the time to get involved. We're in the stretch run here of the NBA season. There is no better time to jump on board and take advantage of the cheat sheet, the matchup metrics, the big monster tool, the player rater, and every single thing that fantasy5by5.com has to offer, which includes rematch boosts, injury boosts, back-to-back warnings, lineup optimizers, projections for FanDuel, DraftKings, best spots, DVP research, deep dive DVP research, everything that you could possibly need or want for NBA DFS research is there at fantasy5by5.com. They have the tools. We have the takes at Lineup Logic. Get involved. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. $15 a month. Now's the time. Let's get into the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast. Bring you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host. I am Sean Kane, and I suffered the fate of one CJ Williams last night, as well as Corey Joseph and LaMarcus Aldridge. Everything else went great, and I just got like lost three limbs, like bam, bam, just absolutely crushed. Listen, I apologize to one of our patrons because Kojo shelled Atlanta. Lonzo just shelled Atlanta. Atlanta is not guarding the point guard. It's back to where it was last year. Dennis Schroeder's defense is the worst. And Kojo just ghost. He's Casper. He's Kojo, the friendly ghost. Terrible. CJ Williams, there's a reason he's going back to the G League today. I'm done. I'm out. And the LaMarcus injury really hurts. I mean, that's just fluke, you know. I mean, what are you gonna do? Listen, we have some excellent action on tonight's slate. It should be fun to watch, especially this Philadelphia Cleveland game. I am interested. I mean, the rumor mill has been circulating about LeBron and Philadelphia, whatever the case may be, who knows. But you know, there should be a lot of fun stuff to worry about tonight. LA Miami should be a little bit of fun, and Minnesota Portland always is a little bit more competitive than I think both of those teams would like. Neither one really has the clear edge in that matchup. So a good slate, four games, which means I'm not going to waste too much of your time. I'm going to put the player breakdown and the Vegas breakdown all into one. I'm going to go game by game. I'll talk Vegas injuries, etc. news, and then I'll give you some player picks from each game to go forward into your lineup. Of course, we'll finish the show building a dummy lineup on FD so you can get a sense of construction and how things get together. Let's go ahead and take a look at tonight. All right. So, I'm over here, fantasy5by5.com, using the Vegas and DVP boosts, which go ahead, it's just so you're aware, it's their version of the Vegas breakdown page where you have winning percentages, what the total for that team is above normal or below normal, or how much they normally score based on their opponent. Again, show me a tool that does this more easily on a regular basis than Fantasy 5x5. You're not going to see it. Let's start in Miami. Lakers are implied for 105, the Heat for 110. A 215 total here. That is 4%, just so you're aware, 4 points above average for the Heat. But it is an 8-point drop for the Lakers. Interesting here. Okay, now, news. As far as news is concerned, on the Lakers side of things, we have a little bit more news than anything. Josh Hart broke his hand. Big deal. That was 27 minutes out of that lineup, pretty consistently playing in that Jordan Clarkson role right there behind Lonzo at the kind of that flex two guard type spot with even a little bit of Isaiah Thomas next to him. So, they were kind of platooning those guards 25 minutes each. Hart, Lonzo, KCP, and Isaiah. Now, no Hart in the lineup. You're going to see KCP rock solid 32 minutes. I think that's a foregone conclusion. And I think that you're probably going to see a little bit more Isaiah. Lonzo is apparently going to get bumped up to 30 minutes tonight. He's going to go from 24 to 30. I think he's gone 18, 24. Yeah, he's gone 18, 24, and then he's going to go to 30. And I think they'll probably keep him at 30 about the rest of the season. The man is hyper-efficient. He is well over a fantasy point per minute. He's still very well-priced. If we're going to see a bump in minutes for him, I don't mind it at all. We know he rebounds. We know he gets the assists, some steals, etc. Even in a tough matchup here, I think he is very interesting at those extra minutes. How will they sort out the rest of this guard rotation? I'm not really sure. I mean, Brandon Ingram has been getting as many minutes as he can handle. My guess is you're going to see just more Isaiah. Good, bad, or indifferent, more Isaiah is going to happen. Am I going to rush to roster him? No, I'm not. I'm not going to rush to roster him. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You might see some Gary Payton Jr. too. I don't know. Something to keep an eye on, though. I think what it does is it makes me like some of these guys a little bit more. That's all that news does. Moving over to the Miami side of things, like I said, they're implied for a little bit of a bump over what they normally have. The news here is interesting. Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington both did not practice yesterday. Specifically, Wayne Ellington is doubtful. He looks like that quad injury is the real deal. What does that mean? It means Dwayne Wade is what it means, and he is not priced appropriately given a potential 30-minute load here that is coming his way. He played 25 in that Philadelphia game and torched them. If we're going to see over 25 minutes for Dwayne Wade, I think you could see another high-quality return from him, especially at the price that he is at right now. If Tyler Johnson does not go, then you're really going to have some minutes open up, maybe even for a guy like a Derrick Jones Jr., maybe some extra Justice Winslow moving over. I'm not completely sure what it would look like. Rodney Magruder came back and played 9 minutes. Who knows why? But I think that the Wayne Ellington news is enough to put me on Dwayne Wade at shooting guard in a pretty small slate. Goran Dragic makes me like him even more. We're going to see more minutes for Dragic, no doubt about it. Other than that, no news on the Miami side. Well, sorry. Other than that, Kelly Olynyk also back, and he jumps straight back into that four position, puts Bam Adebayo basically to the bench, and got himself about 24 minutes straight up, and he did what Kelly Olynyk does. He's going to shoot. He's going to get buckets on that second unit. Listen, if Tyler Johnson can't go for some reason and Dwayne Wade gets pushed back to the first unit, you have to start to think a little bit more about a guy like Kelly Olynyk being the primary scorer on a second unit. We saw that he was the primary scorer on that second unit for a good portion of the season. So something to consider. Let's keep our eye on the news in Miami. As far as player picks from this game, guards, I'm interested in both Lonzo and Dragic, okay? Very interested in Lonzo. I mentioned the efficiency from Lonzo. It's been really impressive in the last two games back since the All-Star break. 17 minutes in Dallas, 24 minutes in Atlanta. He's been rumored to get up to 30 tonight. We'll wait to see if Walton confirms that. In both situations, 1.4 fantasy points per minute. Well, how does he do that? It's just the efficiency, guys. I mean, it really is. He went 4-for-4 from the field in Atlanta, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. He's just that efficient. He does not waste possessions. He's going to be aggressive in getting peripherals and racking up rebounds and assists. he's really he's just a well-rounded guy. And if he's going to get 30 minutes, the last time we saw him get 30, and he was well over 30 before he had that knee injury. He was about 35. You know, but at 1.4 fantasy points per minute, you have to continue to think that, I mean, this is a possible 40-point ceiling here. It's not crazy either. You may say to yourself, that's crazy. He put up 46 right before he got injured. He put 46 in 35 minutes against the Spurs. How do you do that? He went, you know, he only took 10 shots, but he had 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. You know, it's a lot like Deontay Murray. In the same way, you have a guy who's going to contribute more than just points, and when he scores points, it really, really starts to move the needle. So I'm interested in Lonzo. I'm interested in possibly KCP just because of the volume of minutes. I think he's reliable. I don't love the matchup with Josh Richardson, but I'll take it. I'm not touching Isaiah. On the Miami side of things, I mentioned Goran Dragic for the guards here. You know, 30 minutes of him against the Lakers defense. Yeah, I'll take it. He's been consistent. He's been productive. He's shooting well. I have zero issues with Dragic at his price. At 6,800, I believe it is. Let me see what his price is. Yeah, 67 and 7.4 on DK. Lonzo, 6.6 and 6.4. So two very reasonable grout price point guards there. At the shooting guard position, I mentioned Dwayne Wade. We're going to have to keep an eye on him. He's simply too cheap. 4.6 on FanDuel is just not an appropriate price. He's in play, no doubt about it. You know exactly what he's doing. Brandon Ingram and Josh Richardson, yes. If I had to pick one, I'm going Josh Richardson because Brandon Ingram can't defend like Josh Richardson can, at least not yet. If Brandon Ingram turns into the defender that Josh Richardson is, watch out. Watch out. He's finding something this year, and you're seeing some development from this kid who, you know, just as he just gets stronger and a little bit faster, a little bit smarter, and the game slows down for him, he's starting to find himself, man. He's going to be viable. He's going to be a good player. But Josh Richardson at 6,100, 35 minutes plus, no doubt about it. Thin, small forward beyond LeBron. Yes, I could do that. High floor play in a pace-up situation. Turnover-prone Lakers team, you could probably get a couple steals out of him as well. So Josh Richardson for sure. The front court, Julius Randle is interesting only because of price. I'm not touching Hassan Whiteside. I just don't play Hassan Whiteside. I think people will be interested in him. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Not that interested in it. But I don't mind. I don't mind Julius Randle. The minutes have been there. The production has been there. He's been well above a fantasy point per minute, well above 30 fantasy points. It's a tougher matchup in the front court there. And I mentioned Kelly Olynyk. I think Kelly Olynyk is well priced if he's going to get 25 minutes as well. So those are the guys that I'm going through here. Favorite plays from this game. Lonzo, Dragic, Dwayne Wade, Josh Richardson. Those are my favorite plays in this game. Brooklyn at Sacramento. This one is, Philadelphia, Cleveland, if we're going in time order. Let me keep with that pattern here. Time order, Philadelphia is at Cleveland here. We have Philadelphia implied for 110. That's 4 points over their normal average. And Cleveland implied for 113. So 3-point home favorites. But this is a tight spread for this game. This is just home court advantage for them. That 3-point is just home court advantage for them. So Vegas thinks this is going to be tight. And I like that. That's good. 76ers, coming off that game in Miami on Tuesday night, they're going to go up to Cleveland. I think you're going to see a full, healthy rotation for them. Nothing that you need to be concerned about on the 76ers side of the ball from an injury perspective. The one thing I will say that kind of, Trevor Booker got cut and they signed Ersan. I don't know. I mean, they weren't really playing that many minutes anyway. Doesn't really concern me. I think you're going to continue to see the core of these guys get the minutes that we need. The one thing that I will say, J.J. Redick has dropped down below, he's now below 30 minutes, closer to 28, which is a thing, because if you're asking J.J. Redick to go get you over 25 points, he's not quite getting the minutes. Now, I will say this. He's shooting really poorly, And so the price drop on JJ is really interesting. I mean, he 2-for-10 in the Washington game, 4-for-14 from the Miami game, and still decent numbers. So if he can shoot a little bit better in this situation, you know, he's going to have a game at some point that we need to pay attention to. Moving over to the Cleveland side of things, you know, the question with Cleveland is going to be, and is consistently, what do we do with their rotations? How do we project their rotations? George Hill, for whatever reason, went out and got 35 minutes. It's the third time as a Cav that he's gotten 30 minutes. Why he only got 25 minutes against the Spurs, I'm not completely sure. I wonder if it was because they felt like Hood was a better matchup for Deontay Murray. I'm not completely clear on that. I don't know. But George Hill getting 30 minutes, let's see if that sticks, because he would be the one other guy that's starting to get 30-plus minutes, on the Cavaliers. It's just Braun. I mean, you know, Clarkson and Nance, even though Nance against Brooklyn, we thought for sure that the Jeff Green sitting out would help his minutes. It didn't really. Rodney Hood slid in at the three and played 30 minutes there. It's everybody's 25, you know, it's Braun is 30 and everybody else is 25. And I don't necessarily know if anybody else is going to get above 30, no injuries. So we'll see. Let's go ahead and take a look at the player picks from this game. I think of the Philadelphia side, you have to start with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. You know they're going to play 30 minutes. This is a high total game. This is a competitive game where they want to show up. Joe and Ben did not hit value last time against this team. They actually struggled. Joe had 42 in 32 minutes against them. That's kind of strange to me, but it was all the way back in November, and we know he's developed. He's played really well since then. I guess I can't necessarily think that Tristan Thompson can contain him. I just don't really understand why he didn't play that well in November against them. Now, he didn't play the second time around. Simmons in both situations just above 30 in this game, which is a departure from his average of about 40. I don't necessarily think Simmons does have an opportunity now with a better Cavs defense on the perimeter, right? George Hill, Rodney Hood, etc. I don't know if Simmons is going to have the opportunity to improve on that 30-point outing. So I don't know how much I like Simmons. I think I'm more interested in JoJo than I am in Simmons in this situation. And then behind them, like I mentioned, JJ Redick. And I do think that if JJ shoots better in this spot, he would be a surprise. And his price is dropping because of the way he has been shooting at 4K. I mean, yeah. 4K, 3-9 on DK. You are okay. Sorry. 4-9 and 5-2 on DK. I was looking at J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, that's not a bad price for J.R. Smith either, but his minutes are down. JJ, 4-9, 5-2. That's not a terrible price for him on a small slate where you have some positional flex. You may want some flexibility to get more studs in your lineup. I don't mind playing JJ Redick over, you know, a guy like KCP at 6'6". Like there's 5x potentially in the future for JJ Redick. If there's one guy that they kind of ignore and don't double team, it's probably Redick. So that's where I'm at with the Philadelphia side of things. I left out Dario. I made a note about here about don't forget Dario. Don't forget Dario, because if there's one spot that you can continue to attack, it is the four. And Sarge continues to basically have a floor of about 24 fantasy points. He's going to put up shots. Since the All-Star break, he's put up 31 attempts. That's huge. I mean, you know, back-to-back games with like 15 attempts, that's a big deal. And, you know, he's going to be playing in a situation against the power forward that's a good spot to attack. So, I like Dario in this situation. I think he's a high floor at a position tonight that's not very appealing. And listen, he played, you know, played 30 minutes, had 38 minutes in the first one and scored 32 fantasy points. That's about what we expect, just below a fantasy point per minute from Dario Saric. So I don't mind him in this spot either. On the Cleveland side of things, I think the whole world is going to play LeBron. Just play him. Why not? I mean, this is a great game. It's going to be competitive. You're going to get 35 plus minutes of him at home against, you know, an Eastern Conference rival that they want to beat. Other than that, I can't recommend anybody. We talked about the 25-minute problem. I just don't see anywhere that you want to attack on this team. Maybe J.R. Smith because he's so cheap. Maybe Jordan Clarkson. I just can't do it, though. It's LeBron, and that's all. Because you don't attack Philadelphia in the front court with JoJo's defense, and you don't attack them at the point guard because of Ben Simmons. You do attack them on the wing, but the wing rotation has been so wonky that I can't really get behind it. So it's LeBron. Boom, that's it. And play LeBron. I mean, he's going to be 100% owned. He's in a great game, high total, at home, tight spread. You want LeBron in that situation. So no problem with LeBron. Even if this was a 10-game slate, I might be thinking about LeBron here. I think that absolutely is viable. And let me see what he did previously against this team. Of course, I'm using the matchup breakdown tool from Fantasy 5x5, where I can just literally select LeBron James, fantasy points versus any team in the league, 76ers, get matchup, boom. Click twice, 52 and 68. He's averaged 60 against them this year. Yep. It's LeBron. Let's go, Bron, and then we'll build out from there. Moving over, Brooklyn at Sacramento, two West Coast games there. Brooklyn at Sacramento is an interesting game. It's a game that probably is going to be a little bit uglier. It's got one of the lower totals, 214 here, but it's tight, and it should be tight, and it should be tightly contested. And it's now the point spread has gone from one Sacramento minus, you know, they were favored by one. Now it's Brooklyn minus one, and that I think is right. I think Brooklyn can win this game. They have been playing pretty well. As far as injury news, Caris LeVert working his way back into the rotation, getting up, 20 minutes plus. We said the guy that it would hurt was Joe Harris, and that seems to be the case. Harris's minutes are going down, and LeVert's minutes are going up. I don't know that it's enough to play him, but this is a good matchup on the wing. He shot phenomenally well against Cleveland in that spot. That's why he put up 22. That's 5X, of course. Sure, great. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson still working back at about 20 minutes. They're not going to force him back, but he is playing well. And I think if we start to learn that maybe he doesn't have a minutes restriction, he's going to be at the 4 with Jared Allen at the 5. Now, I love Jared Allen in this spot. Highly athletic. Minutes are trending towards 28. He continues to be relatively well-priced. I think that RHJ and Jared Allen are two guys that I'm very interested in. It's one of the best center matchups on the slate. I want to keep my eye on news of whether or not Brooklyn is saying anything about the minutes restrictions for LeVert and RHJ. As far as guards on the Brooklyn side of things, D'Angelo is a bucket getter. And, you know, he is not particularly well-priced at 7,500, but he's not that bad. He's a pretty thin shooting guard position. Sacramento has struggled on the wings. I could see a lot of people getting on D'Angelo Russell in this situation unless you're going to spend down and try to spend up everywhere else. I think a more balanced line approach would probably favor D'Angelo Russell and CJ McCollum. So I don't have a problem with it. If you're a guy that likes D'Angelo Russell, sometimes he disappears, especially when his shot isn't falling. And that'll be a real big problem at 7,500. On the Sacramento side of things, no serious injuries that we have to be concerned with. The veterans continue to sit out every once in a while. Garrett Temple continues to sit out. Justin Jackson has seen his minutes start to go up. They're clearly comfortable with him in developmental mode. He's played a weird array, 14, 35, and 24. So where does that number stabilize at for him regularly? I don't know. Bogdan has stabilized at 20 or 32 minutes. Buddy Hield has stabilized at about 28 minutes. De'Aaron Fox has stabilized at about 32 minutes. Frank Mason behind him at about 16 minutes. In the front court, Zebo, if he sits, then you have to think, you know, Scal is interesting here. If he goes, then he's interesting. I mean, he's a high usage guy. He's not going to not shoot. But Willie Cauley-Stein is probably my favorite piece here. He played 30 minutes against Portland, played extremely well, put up 37 fantasy points. He seems to be in a good position here against Brooklyn. You know, I mean, this is literally the two best center matchups on the slate. If you're on DK, I have no problem playing Willie Cauley-Stein and Jared Allen. Or, you know, why wouldn't you? It's terrible defense both ways. So we're attacking the center position here, no doubt about it. I think Willie Cauley-Stein, though, at 35 minutes at home, you like that. And I could definitely get behind WCS. As far as De'Aaron Fox, I think he's interesting. If you need the money, I have no problem. You know, if you're trying to fit in Dragic and you just can't get there and you need to drop down to De'Aaron Fox, I think a lot of lineups will have that. His returns have been consistent. You know, I mean, he's under a fantasy point per minute, but this is a phenomenal matchup. It's going to be a high paced situation. I think the total could be a little bit low, all said and done, to be honest with you. He's averaging about 24 fantasy points per game. That's not bad. It's not terrible. You know, and he's not going to be a total bust, especially against a mediocre opponent like this. So I think you could get behind De'Aaron Fox in this spot. We just saw what George Hill was capable of doing. Why not go back there? All right, last game of the night, Minnesota at Portland. This one is a 218 total here, and Portland is favored by 4.5. I think that's right. I think that's right. At home, they're playing really well. Minnesota seems to be struggling a little bit without Jimmy. I mean, they had, you know, a nice win in Sacramento and had a couple cupcake type games where they, you know, took care of business. Without Jimmy on the floor, we're going to continue to see Jeff Teague be a really high usage player, and his price is reflecting it. He's up above 74, but he continues to play very, very well. 50 against Chicago, 42 against Sacramento. He's not going to take less than double-digit shot attempts. All the possessions are running through him, and he seems to be very, very comfortable in this offense. 7 assists in both games, multiple steals in both games. We know he likes to get out and push and transition. Portland is not exactly a perfect matchup, but if you remember, he came back from his, it was one of his first games back from injury, I believe, and he lit Portland up, the first week back from injury. Portland was his real coming out game, and he put up 39 fantasy points against them in 28 minutes. There's a confidence level that he has here in this matchup. I don't mind him. I think his usage makes him appealing. The minutes obviously make him appealing. He's been at about 35 minutes lately at 7,700. I think he's an interesting pivot and an interesting play away from Dame. And maybe you stack them against each other and you expect them to kind of face off there. I'm not really sure how you approach that. I think it's, you know, just what you do with the rest of your lineup. I think point guard is one of the more flexible positions on the slate. Nemanja Bjelica, he's going to be in a good spot. I like his price. I think 5,800 for 35 minutes of Bjelica is, is okay. I don't mind him at all. We're going to see him continue to develop in this offense. He put up 35 against Sacramento, and, you know, that's what he's capable of. He's a capable scorer. And this is one spot on the floor that really doesn't scare me against Portland. So I don't mind Bjelica at 5,853 on DK. I don't think Taj is that interesting to me here. I do think Kat is interesting, 10-3. He's continued to, you know, be really, really productive, averaging, you know, nearly 50 points in the two games since Jimmy has left. So we're going to continue to see him. And, you know, it's going to be Kat or JoJo. I think center is a really deep position tonight. You can go and feel comfortable with a lot of these guys, and I think you know, it's up to you where you spend the rest of your money. And I think it's about shooting guard has a little bit less flexibility. Power forward has virtually no flexibility. So point guard and center, you have flexibility to kind of make a, you know, pick a large wide range of outcomes. So, you know, I think it's in order. Teague and Bjelica are to my two favorites. And then maybe I'll go to the front court and go to Kat and Taj. No interest in Wiggins for me. He's just been, you need him in a perfect matchup. I just can't trust him, especially if the rising price doesn't interest me. Portland, I think Damian Lillard is a borderline lock. At this total at home, his price went down. Yeah, I mean, it's just on this slate, 9-7 for a guy that's been as consistent as Damian Lillard is a really, really nice return. I also like that CJ McCollum's price has gone down here at 7,200, 6'9 on DK. He's a guy that I could get into about a fantasy point per minute. Without Jimmy on the perimeter, this perimeter defense is going to struggle. And we saw Buddy Hield, you know, had a lot of success. Struggled in Sacramento. Okay. You know, what are you going to do? He just didn't shoot well. He literally couldn't score. So that's just not going to happen that often for CJ. We take advantage of the price drop and feel good about him going up against Wiggins. You know, as we should. It continues to be a trend that we should try to get ahead of rather than be late on. In their previous games, though, a lot of these guys have struggled. Jeff Teague being really the only one that's performed above average. So just to keep that in mind, this could be a lower scoring game than we expect. And like I mentioned, you know, I just looked up CJ's. He had 35 one game. That's very nice. He had 19 in the second game and then 39 in another game. So I think CJ is interesting here for sure. And I, you know, this game should be competitive. I think if you're looking for all these games should be competitive. But Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Minnesota, Portland definitely deserve our attention to kind of build around and then fill in with some of the other value type pieces. All right, let's go over to FanDuel. Let's throw together a lineup. All right, so I've been fooling around with this one a little bit here. I think there's a couple ways to do it. Power forward is a disaster. As such, I want to spend very little on it and try to maximize point per dollar. I'm going to go with Al Farouq Aminu and Kelly Olynyk. I could go Ed Davis there, backing up Nurk against Towns may give Ed Davis a little bit of extra run. You know, just he's the more athletic defender. And I think that sometimes, that's what, you know, that's what they like to do against Minnesota. And let me see what his minutes were against them in the last two games. Yeah, he had 25 in one game and 20 in the other game. So actually, that makes me like Ed Davis a little bit more. If I get him at 20 minutes, and he's been getting 20 minutes, I think I'll go there. So Ed Davis, Kelly Olynyk, too, is the other guy that I think is cheap. Small forward is rough, so I'm definitely going to lock in LeBron. And then I would like to play, Josh Richardson. If I have the salary flexibility, I will definitely play him. I'll put him in there for the moment. At shooting guard, I think it's Dwayne Wade and CJ McCollum. I just trust them the most of all of these guys. Dwayne should be getting plenty of minutes against the Lakers, especially with no Wayne Ellington out there. CJ McCollum has Andrew Wiggins' defense. We saw a good performance. He's deserving of a bounce back. So it's point guard and center. And I said this was where you had your positional flexibility. You build out the middle of it here, and you have more flexibility and options to kind of vary and figure out what you want to do. So let's try and go with, let's change our center, and then we'll respond based on that. Okay, so Jared Allen, he's the cheapest one that's viable right now. Jared Allen then leaves you with $7,900 per position. You can go with Dame and then De'Aaron Fox. Interesting, not bad. I don't mind it. You could go to take Jared Allen out and go up to Willie Cauley-Stein, and then that will leave you with Goran Dragic and Lonzo. That's interesting. You don't quite have enough to get to Jeff Teague, but you could do well. You could do Jeff Teague and De'Aaron Fox in that situation. So Willie Cauley-Stein, Jeff Teague, De'Aaron Fox. That's not bad. And then if you go up all the way up to, you know, the next Joel Embiid, you know, I think he's interesting as well. Then you have to try and maybe make some compromises in some other spots. And maybe you have to look at a guy, you got to do a De'Aaron Fox and then maybe downgrade it small forward a little bit. Man, Bielitsa. Yeah, JoJo is a little bit harder to fit in. It would have to change some of my shooting guards. So maybe it is, I think of all of these, the probably the highest floor situation, you're probably looking at, the Willie Cauley-Stein and then Goran and Lonzo. They just kind of have the most profit potential given their prices. Almost get to Jeff Teague and Lonzo. That would have been nice, but I can't. There's a lot of builds that I've been like $100 off. It was frustrating. One of those nights. Fool around with it. See what you find. A lot of different ways to go. But again, positional flexibility exists at point guard. It exists at center. There's some flexibility at shooting guard as well. I think there's just more combinations. Small forward, no. Power forward, not really that interested in the flexibility unless we get some news or something like that. Power forward is a disaster. I'm going to try to maximize my point per dollar there and just be cheap. But that's just my strategy when I don't like a positional. So, hey, that is it for me. I'm out of here. Good luck, guys, and I will see you tomorrow.